Hi, this is Angela Middleton, and welcome to my podcast called I Want to BA. The reason for this podcast is that there is a huge lack of careers advice in the UK, and I'm always asked by young people, by parents and by teachers, my views on improving careers advice, and particularly by parents, what should they say to their youngster who's leaving school. I think it is a wider subject. It's not just about what job do you want to do, but it is actually about how you want your life to be. And within that, what type of career you want to select. And that career can just be the first stepping stone. Nowadays, individuals have a whole portfolio of careers. The people that I've interviewed, even at the age of 30, have had four or five careers. Myself, I've had at least five different types of careers. So this podcast is about firstly talking about careers in general and careers advice, but secondly, bringing in individuals who have experienced careers in particular industries, hence the subject I Want to BA, and they can come and talk about the path that they took to actually get to where they are and also talk about what it's like to actually do that job and have that career. So we'll be covering every type of career that we can think of in the UK, and it will be everything from architects to zoologists. So I'll look forward to comments, and we'll build things up as we go along, and hopefully it should be of great use to parents, to teachers and to young people. Today I have Lucas Sheehan with me. Lucas is a personal trainer. He's interested in human optimization though, and has lots of great learning points to share. Without further ado, let's start the interview. Lucas, lovely to see you. Thanks for joining us today. And we're going to talk about the career of a personal trainer.
Yes.
So what I'd love to hear first of all though is your start, you know, where you started in school, and tell us a bit about your journey from leaving school until the current time.
Oh gosh. So starting from school, I schooled in Windsor, went to Windsor Boys School. I was a middle child when I grew up.
Yeah.
And I was kind of just one of the middle student. I wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
But also never in the light, you know, just be out of sight of everybody.
You were saying that you're an August baby.
Yeah.
And that you weren't particularly academic, but you were not unacademic. You weren't particularly sporty, but you were not sporty.
Boring as
hell. Describe that a bit. And I wonder whether that is because, you know, you were part of this big family as well.
No, I don't feel like it was because I was part of that. I just felt like I didn't have any confidence as a child, I don't think.
Yeah.
So when you don't have confidence, you don't push yourself, I guess. I just didn't want to be seen ever. It was fine. I was just fine. Just leave me alone, I'm fine.
And that's very normal. A lot of people just sort of opt to sort of stay under the radar,
yeah,
as it were. But you still were involved in everything.
Yeah, and I had good friends. And my older brother was at school the year above me. And he was a cool kid. Not that cool, but like he was kind of cool.
Oh, he'll like to hear that.
Yeah, I know. Cut that out. But he had I was fine. Immediately when I went there, it was like, oh, you're his brother, so you're just fine. So I had never any trouble at school other than, I just didn't want to learn anything, really.
Did GCSEs, you said?
I did GCSEs, didn't do particularly well. Like I say, I can't even remember what I got. It was like a bunch of Cs, maybe a couple of Ds.
And interesting, you were saying that you can't remember, and that's because you really weren't that bothered about
I wasn't bothered at all. I didn't even feel nervous as a child for any exam ever. And I didn't even understand when my friends were like, I'm so nervous for this exam. For me, it just didn't matter. It didn't seem like it mattered.
And that point, you didn't know what you wanted to do.
Oh, jeez, not at all.
No. So you stayed on and did A-levels. Why was that?
Because I needed to do something. So all my friends left and went to university. I knew I didn't want to go get a job. At this point, I wanted to work in... I just used to say work in media.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but it sounded kind of cool. I think I wanted to be like, oh, I should be a cameraman. So I did like media studies. And then I did, on top of that, I did film studies and photography.
And you were at college doing that?
Yeah, at college. Yeah. But again, that's just because I just fancied one of the girls in the class.
Right.
And I just thought, well, she's doing it, so I'll just hang around with her. Again, terrible advice. But so I did that for 2 years.
And during this time when you were at school and at college, did you do any work experience?
Yes. So I worked in my stepdad's butcher shop from, I think I was about 14, maybe 15, every Saturday, the occasional Sunday, for years.
Did you enjoy that?
No, absolutely hated it.
So what did you sort of get from that?
Looking back, it's work, right? So
you
have to work. So there was no choice.
Mm.
And we owned this butcher shop. So it was like, also you're 14, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You just go stand at the back, go make burgers, go clean stuff, clean everything, clean. This is one of the things. I'm affected by temperature a lot.
Right.
I hate being cold. I hate being hot. Mm. And it was freezing. Oh, you're in like big fridges the whole time. My hands were like icicles.
Yeah.
I just hated it. I was the worst.
And but you had to do it.
I had to do it. Yeah. There was no choice.
And what did you learn from that?
Well, first of all, I learned how to be a butcher. That's a skill. And I still use it now. I know about meat and stuff. I mean, it's pretty useless. But when we're in Sainsbury's, I can tell you a few things. Other than that, you just have to work.
Work ethic.
Get up early, out doing deliveries, customer service. You serve people. You learn how to work the till. Yeah, I earned money. Yeah, the fundamentals were cool.
Trying to explain this to people that might be listening who maybe don't fancy the sort of the job that's in front of them. Sometimes you just have to do what's in front of you anyway, and it is
always
not until later on that you look back.
100%. Like, there was no choice, but like, always have a job. You learn something from every job.
Exactly. You had a bit of work experience, you were earning some money, you sort of recognising the benefits of having a job, even though they weren't the jobs you wanted, but you weren't sure what you wanted to do.
No.
You got to the end of your A-levels, and then what happened?
Then I went travelling. So it was my mum, actually. She came in and said, look up this thing, it's called Camp America. And I was like, no, it looks rubbish. And then she left the room and I was like, YouTubed it. Well, it probably been YouTube then, I can't remember what it was. But I looked up their website and they had like a promo video.
Yeah.
And it was basically dudes jumping around, like playing sport, water sports, playing American football. And I said, oh, actually, that looks incredibly fun. So I applied, I went along to a... it's like a recruitment day in London where all the different camps across America have like it's a big exhibition and you go and basically sit at tables and interview for which one and then somebody will offer you a job.
Wow. And what is the job when you're there?
So you're a counsellor. So, well, you can do a couple of different things. You're one of two things mainly. You're either on, say, like a tennis court and you teach the kids tennis.
Right.
Or you're in charge of the children and you walk them round to the different activities all day.
Because it's a big thing in America, the camp, summer camp, isn't it? And they need lots of people there to help.
Yeah.
And this experience had a lot of benefits for you, you were saying.
Yeah, because I'd never been alone before. So I went alone. So literally, I got to the airport with my mum and older brother. And they said, bye. And I said, before you go, how do I get on this plane? Where do I have to go? Where, I didn't know anything. So it was the first time ever that they told me, okay, like, this is your flight number and you've got to go through here and then you'll get on your plane and you'll go. And I remember being sat on the plane out there and then it dawned on me, I was like, oh, I'm now alone heading to Texas where I don't know anybody.
Mm.
Like, luckily I speak the language. It was like, it was super weird. So fast forward 6 months and I landed back in England and I was like a different person.
Yeah. Well, that's a lovely piece of advice for anybody listening who's not sure what to do yet. That's definitely one option, isn't it, to go 100%. Off and do that. So you came back, you now felt a lot more sort of worldly wise, I guess.
Yeah, I was the man then. I think I had my 20th birthday out there, so I came back and I knew it all. That was
okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
And obviously I'd been doing the whole kind of sport thing out there. I just loved that. Like, I love all sports. And I'd sort of just started going to the gym just before I went, kind of went a little bit out there and sort of was going to the gym a little bit when I got back. But only because, like, I was super skinny and, like, you know, feel like, well, I don't want to be that skinny. So I then, such a bad story, I saw somebody sat in reception. And I thought, well, that's a job that I could do. So then I came home and said to my mum that I wanted to do work in a gym.
So you like the gym environment and you just saw this person sitting there and thought...
I just thought that was cool.
I could do
like,
that.
Get to talk to people. And,
and you saw this and you thought, you just felt that you would have a rapport there and you would feel comfortable there.
Yeah.
But you didn't know. You just
obviously
had that feeling.
Well, yeah. I wanted to sit down, let people in at the button. That was it. I wanted to do. So then I did the research. What I have to do to be able to get that job? Turns out nothing, unless you then want to go into the gym.
Mm.
But then you need a qualification. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I'll look up how to do that. And then it turns out you needed this level 2 gym instructor thing, which was, it was under £1,000. I'm sure it was about £800 at the time. I can't remember how I paid for it. But I definitely paid for it. Oh, it must have been with the money I'd saved from working, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Anyone listening to this who thinks they don't have the money to do that, they should always inquire anyway, because there are government schemes for people that don't have the money that can be funded, etc.
I'm almost sure you can get it paid for now.
Yeah. And if anyone's listening is not sure about that, then they can contact me afterwards and I can let them know.
Yeah.
But so tell me about how long that course took and sort of things that you learned.
So it's super quick. So I think it was a couple of weekends, I want to say. Maybe it was a week long.
Right.
Definitely wasn't very long. You just learn the basics of how a gym works, basically.
Yeah.
it's not super in depth. You learn a little bit of like anatomy and physiology, and that's cool. You then learn the good things that you learn. Well, the things that I thought were the best things you learn is just how to be with people in the gym. It's kind of like what to do, what not to do, how to be helpful, how not to be helpful. Those sorts of things that you think, oh, that's interesting.
At that point, you weren't thinking necessarily personal training. You're more thinking about working in that environment.
Yeah, just wanted to hang out. Wanted to hang out with people that were just working out. I wanted to work out. And then like I'd maybe get to use the spa. I thought that would be great. So then that's what I did. So then you had the option to do the level 3 straight away, which is the personal trainer. But I couldn't afford that. So I just wanted to just do the level 2. And then... that's it. I started applying for level 2 jobs. I had a couple of interviews and I got the second job with this woman who was just sort of took a bit of a risk with me because I'd literally just qualified. I didn't know what I was doing.
Interesting though that if you think about having got that job and you basically it was the second job you actually went for. It wasn't just about having the qualification, was it? It was about your ability to present and speak.
And
you had the administration experience, the customer service experience already. So that's sort of when you start looking back at the jobs that you didn't want to do and then think, actually that was great that I did those, because that's 100%. what it gives you. So you get this job, then start to do sort of basic entry level type stuff, but you also start to build a rapport with this lady who turns out to be a bit of a mentor. So let's talk about both of those things. First of all, sort of the things you learned initially in that job.
So she had just become the manager. They'd had to sack a few people, so this is why they're recruiting. And I was the first person she employed. So she obviously wanted me to be good. And, I could be pretty useless, like just a bit sort of like forgetting to do things and lazy and stuff. But she was always super nice about it. And it really worked because then I just wanted to really work hard for her. So she was great.
You start to do that job, then what happens next to sort of move you into personal training?
Well, I kind of knew that was the natural progression. I'd been told that once you had a job, you may be in a place where they could pay for you to do the next level. So then that was another incentive for me that I wanted to like do a good job and work hard, because there was a possibility that they would say, okay, cool, so you've worked hard, thanks for your hard work, here's money for you to do your level 3, which is personal training. But obviously before that I'd been doing all the classes and getting to know members, and so I almost like had a client base. So it's almost like a group of people waiting for me to become a personal trainer, which was really important, because a lot of people that I did the course with went straight from level 2, the next weekend it was level 3, and then they finished that, then they're out in the world paying rent to one of these big commercial gyms without a client base, losing money, and I'm the only person that of that course, and there's about 50 people that's still in the industry.
There's a couple of things actually to bring out there. The first is, because you were sort of going the extra mile and sort of adding all the value, etc., your employer then decided that they were going to sponsor you and pay for that next qualification. We see that a lot. If you are valuable to a company, they need the skills. So they would want skilled people. And therefore they will invest in you. And we see it in a number of different professions. But the second thing that you're saying, I think, is that don't rush before you can walk. And in this particular profession, it's good to get that background first, to become 100%. Familiar with the industry. And that's what you did, isn't it?
And there's a few reasons why. I mean, first of all, I didn't know if I was going to like it. I thought I would. Turns out I did. But like, if I'd have paid, say it was like 3,000 for the level 3 or like 800 for the level 2, it'd be such a waste of money. Just for something that I wasn't even that sure about. It was my first job, and I fell in love with it, and I was super lucky because I worked with some good people, and that kind of worked out well. But being able to build up a client base first was like invaluable, and just finding out if you'd like the job.
So you then started training people, and I know that you were successful in that company. What I want to talk about though is your sort of next step beyond that. So how did that happen?
So a couple of things happened. At that point, when I was a trainer, something switched and I realised that, I'm quite good at this. I don't know what that... I was quite good at something. I couldn't work out what it was. But I had clients. I had a business almost. It was weird because I'd never been good at something like that. So then I was obsessed. And then once I'm good at something, I'm like, okay, now I'm going to go so deep into this. So I'd study. So I'd sit in the gym on their gym computer on the internet, just reading about articles and articles, and then go through different people's websites. During this time, I then hurt my back, I got injured, and I needed to find somebody that could help me with that, because the help I was getting through the NHS, I just didn't feel was very good. So I discovered a story about, the title was how I came back from my bulging disc or something.
Right.
And I had an MRI scan and they told me I had this. And I was like, oh my God, it's amazing. It's going to save my career. Because you think like, oh, this is probably all over for you then. Because, you know, you need to be active. And at the minute, you can't really walk very well. So I read this article and it's by a guy called Mark Coles, who owns a gym in Nottingham called M10. And I found out who treated him. I went to see her and then wanted to just speak to Mark about it, because I was just concerned about my back. But in doing so, I kind of discovered his website, discovered what he was about and his business. And then it just so happened that he's had this amazing business that transformed people from one thing to the other. And it was this whole thing of like, well, we're a results-based business. So you give us money and we're going to make you look different. And that to me was like, oh, that's amazing, because that doesn't exist where I am. And I mean, I would blow everyone out of the water if I could provide a service like that. So I was then obsessed of finding out how to do that. So I found out he did internships, and I'd read some testimonials from his internships, and a couple of things. One, he let them write a testimonial on his thing, and I thought that was cool, because he had a bit of a following, and I thought, well, if I could get, maybe he could shout me out. You know, I thought it'd be great. Like, there was no downside to this. So I emailed him and said, super interested in your internship. How do you go about it? And he emailed back and said, it was £400. Maybe it was £450. It was about £400 for the day. And then I was like, I have no money, so I can't afford that. And I was like super deflated. And I told my boss at the time, so the lady, that Tina, that that employed me. And it must be the next week she called me into the office and said, like, here's £400. Like, go do it, because it sounds amazing. And obviously I was just like, beside myself, it was like the best thing ever.
I know that you then took the value of that course back to that current employer. Mm-hmm. But after that, you moved to Nottingham, didn't you?
Yeah. Yeah, so I came back from the internship. I then wanted to put what I'd learned to work straight away. So I recruited my three best friends. I trained them for free, you know, and I was working the morning shift. That was, I think it was 5:30 a.m. till 2:30 p.m. But then they would be at work, so I'd then wait around till 6 p.m. for them to come. I'd just sit around and whatever, talk to people. They'd get there, I'd train them, I'd measure them because I had to get some calipers and stuff. But again, like, I didn't know what I was doing.
And they weren't like, paying you?
No, God, no.
So you were doing this really so that you had a body of work, as it were?
I just knew that I had to prove that I could do it. Once I had that, then I could show people, because it was so powerful, that whole before and after thing. It's like, oh, look, you can go from this to this, rather than saying, oh, I can get you in great shape. But you see, it's still now, he's striking, isn't it? You see someone, you go, I still see some now, and I'm like, that's amazing. I've been doing it for 10 years. So I knew that I needed that. So I did that for 8 weeks. And then about week seven, Mark at M10 put up that he was recruiting. The next week I'd finished my transformations. I emailed him and said, like, I've seen you put a job up. I know I've only came, like, I was super green when I went up there eight weeks before, but I've done this since. And I emailed him the pictures and they were good. And he said, come up. And then we spoke. He interviewed me twice. I would have done anything. Like, I just wanted to work there. I told him I'd sleep in my car in the car park. Like, I would drive up. I'd commute. It was a 2.5 hour drive. I'd do whatever it took to work there, because I needed to learn more. Once I'd had those results, they're good results. I needed more of it though. And I only knew one way. And I knew that I'd learned a system, and I wanted to know, like, what actually went into that. Like, why did that happen? And he took a punt with me and said, like, let's do it. I had a good attitude, I guess. I
think. And again, you know, you see
that's
that.
That's what it's about.
You see that across so many industries. We're talking about your industry, personal training, and the fact that you put yourself out and you got those results. But, you know, I've seen this in filmmaking, you know, creative industries, where you have to actually put something together and then send that to future employers. And that means that you've got to put extra hours in, more effort outside of your working hours.
And like, the effort thing is huge. So
yeah, but anyone can do it though, can't they?
Of course. It's just like a want thing, isn't it?
So I know you had a successful time in Nottingham.
So I was there for about a year.
And then you were looking around. In fact, you were aware of another
organisation. And that's just because I was aware of them because, you know, I'm still into the industry. I wanted to know who was doing what.
Yeah.
I wanted to know who's considered the best. And that was UP. They were back in London, obviously from nearer London. I'd built up a portfolio of results up there. I then tweeted the owner, and he tweeted, but just bantery. Because it was that whole thing, like, I thought, oh, this would be fun. I'll just sort of throw out a tweet here.
Yeah.
Because he talks about something about people that get results, and I tweet him a picture of all my results, and I was like, how are these? And then he messaged me and was like, are you serious? Like, about getting a job? And then I was like, oh, but this is amazing. You know, yes. I was obsessed then. And then fast forward, like 3 months later, I came down for an interview. And like the preparation of the interview is, I read, he didn't have any books by then, but I'd read everything he'd written. So I knew how he spoke, I knew what words he used.
Yeah.
I knew, like, I've watched every video he'd ever put out on the internet about him or him. All about the anybody that worked there. I stalked everyone's Twitter because Instagram wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
I wanted to know. So when I went there, it was familiar and I knew everything and I wasn't surprised by anything.
So you would have been shocked if you'd not got the job with all that prep?
Yeah. There was just no way I was not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit like this. Like, I couldn't. Like, I was saying to like my mum or whatever, if I don't get this job, like, my life's over. You know, I was so. It was everything.
Yeah. But an obsessive nature in business is very, very useful.
Useful for sure.
Also over preparation. You can't be over prepped.
There's no chance. It
just makes such a difference. And then you can get what you want. And I know these things are cliche, but
yeah,
what you focus on, you do get.
100%.
And that's a great demonstration of it. You went to work for that company. I know you were there for 4 years and you were very, very successful there.
Yeah.
What I'd like to talk about, though, is what's happened next, because now you have your own business.
Yeah.
So if you could tell us a bit more about that.
So I left because I wanted to see what I could achieve, you know, like it just seems like the next step was to then see, well, what can you do by yourself? So I've done that about a year and a half ago. And that's it, just trying to build a business. So I have to start from scratch again.
Yes.
Because when you leave, obviously they own all the results you've had. So that's fine. You leave those there and you can cry about it or you can get on with it. So I got on with it. I rung up the same friend. Hi, mate. Glad you got fat again. I need your body for 3 months because now I'm in this commercial gym and I need to prove that I can get results. Since then, I've never been quiet. I've been busy the whole time. But I knew that. I knew it was going to work. You have to do that.
And when you say you've never been quiet, it's not like by any means that you're the cheapest or you're the best advertised.
No.
A lot of it is referral. You're not advertised at all. Although we will talk about your Instagram in a moment.
Yeah,
You know, you're dealing with a professional client base. And so you're charging sort of high-end prices. And yet you have a waiting list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, I guess, I feel like I've been super lucky with that.
No, it's very good. Give us an example then of a typical day for you. And you just describe some of your, you know, activities as a personal trainer, owning your own business.
Yeah. So typically, the standard is you wake up early and you go to the gym, because although I've got a few clients that can do whatever they want, train whenever they want because they're super lucky, you still have clients that need to go to work. So they need to train people for work. You will have some in the day and then you need to train people after work. So they're long days. Mm. And if you don't like that, then, I mean, don't even start, because wherever you are, it's a long day.
The big client services aspect.
100%, yeah.
And also almost, am I right in saying, like a psychological aspect to it as well?
Yeah, that's the hardest one that I can't teach people. Not that I can't teach people, but I find it really hard to explain to people how you have to be, your EQ is much more important than your IQ. How, like, to read people's moods, like trying to understand what they mean rather than what they say. That's super tough, and I'm really, really lucky that I'm good at that, and I recognize that straight away.
In this profession, you can actually have a huge impact along the lines that we've just described. But just talking for a moment about the other things in terms of lifestyle, how much money you can earn, because obviously people are interested in that as well. What would you say about that?
Well, when you're owning your own business, you can earn whatever you like, because you can either be a singular personal trainer that you dictate what you charge, so that's up to you. You dictate how many clients you have, and then you can take it to owning a worldwide gym. I mean, this is super rare. Like, everybody wants to a trainer, like, oh yeah, then I'm gonna get my own gym. And it's like, okay, yeah, maybe, but probably not. But it's a tough question to ask, because what's lucrative to one person might be somebody else wouldn't get out of bed for. But there's a huge range, and the upper range is good for a lot of people.
If people want to build a career in this industry, what would be your advice to them?
Okay, so first of all, you need the qualifications.
Yeah.
So I think I did it the right way, which is just get the foot in the door, see if you like it first. If you want to, if you know you just want to be a personal trainer without being in the industry, first of all, I find that strange. I would just be in the industry first, just being a gym instructor, find out the kind of the nitty gritty of it, because it's not glamorous. You're in a client service industry. Make sure that you like serving people and you don't feel like you're above that. Study, like, it's forever evolving, right? It's a science. So with the human body, it's you can't just learn something then think, well, I know that now, so now I'm a personal trainer, it's going to be great. You have to be wanting to, because I feel like there's a trend that people think, well, I've done my job now, so now I'm just going to be a PT for the rest of my days.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a retirement thing. But for me, I think, well, no, now you need to study a lot, because it's forever changing.
It's ever evolving. Yeah. And you need to have your own sort of USP, really, your own individual sort
know
of
what
niche,
you want to be
really.
Known for. Like, the only thing that I cared about was being known for something.
Mm.
I want to be a go-to guy. I want to be like, it's about, for me, like, building a reputation. And that's, for me, it was about body transformation stuff. But that doesn't, you know, it can be about post-prenatal, whatever.
Yeah.
This is just my advice. I just think once you've chosen that, then go all in on it. Try and be the best in the world at it. Because that's worked for me, for my business anyway. Like,
So if people want to find out more, where can they reach you?
So Instagram, I guess, is the best for the minute. I'm going through a transition of websites and stuff, so there's no point in giving that. But my Instagram is Lucas Sheehan PT. I put some stuff up. So I did a blog last year. I did a post a day, because on the way to the gym, I tried to optimize my time on the tube. So I used to write a post on something that was on my mind.
Yeah.
And now I've just started doing videos, which are a bit cringe, but trying to force myself to do them. Same thing. I just want to talk about some stuff. And it's just, for me, it's just about kind of putting knowledge out there. And I can't remember who told me, but one of the biggest things was that people don't know what you know. So like, they don't know how good you are until you show them.
Yeah.
And I've always been like, well, I know it, but I just stay quiet about it. But it's like, no, like, you need to tell people, like, you know all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to guess it, right? Just presume you don't.
Certainly. I think on your Instagram site is a wealth of information. Mm. I've definitely seen that. A particular favourite of mine is the bucket with the broccoli and the oil.
Yeah.
I will just say that and let people go and have a look at it. But so really bad. Enlightening. Excellent, actually.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having
me. And some great lessons
there.
Hope
you didn't waffle too much.
Really good. Thank you.